girlsrockcampvancouver.ca.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
What if this summer you did something different? What if you worked with people you admired in a city that inspired you, making something that you were proud of? The Media Institute for Social Change is looking for students like you to be a part of their summer documentary program in Portland, Oregon. As a student, you'll create original audio and video pieces about issues that you care about. You'll meet and learn from media professionals whose work is aimed at social justice. You'll immerse yourself in Portland, a city that will serve as your hands-on media-making laboratory. Sound like your type of summer? Apply today at MediaMakingChange.org.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave. You're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
These are the days of our lives.
It is Friday, the 14th of July, 2017, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Ensemble Theatre Company is getting ready for their fifth season at the Jericho Arts Centre, and we have a couple of folks from that to tell you all about three plays in repertory running through the summer. And that will be followed by a conversation with the music band behind a brand new documentary about the struggle for Indigenous civil rights in Canada. The Road Forward is playing at the Van City Cinema all this weekend until Thursday, and we're going to meet where's his name? I've got it right here. It's Wayne. Wayne's right there. Wayne Lavely, and he'll be on in just a moment. Plus, we've got our call board and all the other great stuff, and it's coming up right now. Don't touch that dial. One of the hallmarks of this show is I am less prepared than the guests so that I make them look good. So sitting across from me now are two folks from Ensemble Theatre. Please identify yourselves.
My name is Kelty Forsyth. I'm the director of In the Next Room at Ensemble Theatre.
And I'm Rebecca Walters. I am assistant director of In the Next Room, and I am an actor in A Prayer for Owen Meany.
And these are two of the three plays that are going to be part of the Ensemble Theater Company season that's happening at Jericho Arts Center. And that gets underway this weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, officially opened last night with In the Next Room. And tonight is opening of A Prayer for Owen Meany, and then tomorrow is our final opening night of Masterclass.
Yeah. Now, regular listeners to this show are probably familiar with Ensemble because I talked the heck out of it last year because I was in one or two of the shows. And we've also had artistic director Tarek Leslie in as well to talk about it. But for those who are new to the experience, could maybe one of you explain what Ensemble Theater is and what it's doing?
Sure. It's a theater company. We're in our fifth season of repertory.
And what does repertory mean?
Well, we do three shows in the summer. And we don't do three shows in three different spaces or one after the other. We do three shows at the same time. That makes it. That was very loud and chaotic. So on alternating nights.
Right.
So last night was In the Next Room. Tonight's A Prayer for Owen Meany. Tomorrow's Masterclass. And then it
just rotates
that way. Yeah. So, and it's the same group of actors, an ensemble, if you will.
Hence the name.
Yes. And so actors that are in the next room are also in Owen Meany and Masterclass.
Right.
And sometimes assistant directors from one show are in other shows. So it's a good chance to come and see some very interesting, thought-provoking, entertaining theater and see... A bunch of people doing some wildly different roles.
It's a great way to kind of, you want to have some different theater experiences, you can just get it all in one place.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the play that you're directing.
In the Next Room, or the Vibrator play,
yes,
as it's more titillatingly known. Absolutely. This is a play by Sarah Rule. Sarah Rule's an American playwright. She's a MacArthur Genius Grant winner and a multiple Tony Award winner, among other things. And this play in particular is quite this remarkable piece, which it takes place during the 1880s in upstate Connecticut or upstate New York. And it's a doctor, a medical doctor, who treats hysteria in women. And he does so by bringing them to paroxysm or orgasm using a brand new piece of electricity,
amazing technology.
Amazing electricity.
Yes. Electricity is the wonder of the age in the 19th century.
Yeah.
It fixed everything.
Yeah, using a vibrator.
Yeah.
Or actually, two vibrators star in this show.
No expense spared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the word hysteria, and that intrigues me because you said hysteria in women, and actually, the word hysteria comes from the same root as the word for the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically a woman's disease.
It is. And at this point in the long and storied history.
One of those lady things.
Yes. In the long and storied history of hysteria is that it is basically just a way of making women's sexuality a disease.
Yeah.
It's really just a description for sexually frustrated, bored women.
Yeah.
And what happens when you do nothing but sit around the house all day and don't have any kind of release or relief?
Intellectual or otherwise.
Well, yeah, so I was going to say, it's not just physical. It's that there's no, you know, especially, the wealthier you were, the less you had to do.
Yeah.
And that can drive you nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. And
So get a vibrator.
And, you know, shockingly, orgasm was the most effective treatment for hysteria.
Yeah.
People found it to be the most relieving. But that's been the funny thing about approaching the show, which is that we do have to take that kind of sideways step over into thinking of, women's sex as a disease and hysteria as, you know, going and getting your antibiotics at the doctor or something, which is a funny, it's hard to make that mental sidestep as a contemporary group of people, but it's been a really, really fun to explore.
Well, you know, that word it's come up again lately in the news, mm-hmm. because you've got, and you know, in the States, you've got female reporters questioning male representatives of the Trump administration, and they're described as being hysterical. Mm. So we haven't really progressed that far.
No, not that far. And that's part of the fun. You know, it's a contemporary play, and that's part of the fun of the play.
So what happens in the play itself? What's the plot? What's the story?
So the story is Dr. Givings, the doctor who performs this, has a home office, essentially. Mm-hmm. And his wife becomes very interested in what's going on in the next room because of all of the funny sounds coming out of the room. they've recently had a baby, and she's not producing sufficient breast milk. So they bring in a young woman of color who is their wet nurse, who's recently lost her child as well. Mm-hmm. There's also a couple of patients that are featured. So the patients are coming in getting treatment. The wife is becoming obsessed with what's going on in the next room, but she's experiencing a lot of sort of grief and inadequacy about her baby and what's going on, and kind of redirecting all of that energy into what her husband is doing.
Yeah.
And the result is I've compared it to, it's kind of like high school. It's like everybody's newly discovering their sexuality, and so the whole house is kind of just a hormonal soup, where everybody keeps kind of accidentally brushing up against each other.
Oops.
and drama and much comedy ensues because
this sounds like fun.
Just walking in the room kind of makes you a bit titillated, I think. It's largely focused on kind of the relationship between the husband and wife.
Yeah.
But we get these lovely, rich other characters in Mrs. Daldry and her husband, the patient, and then a male patient, Leo, the high-strung artist.
Mm-hmm.
Where we feature our second vibrator, the Chattanooga vibrator.
Oh, does it go choo-choo?
It was an actual, the Chattanooga vibrator is an actual historical vibrator,
uh-huh.
which you can look at pictures of online. And yeah, they are quite.
I think we'll post some on the Facebook page.
It goes choo-choo.
It operates much like a sewing machine.
You mean like a foot treadle?
Yeah.
Okay, Rebecca.
Yes.
So you're assisting Kelty with the direction, but you're also acting and in the Prayer for Owen Meany.
Yes.
So what's that one?
That is based on the book by John Irving. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And by that guy who wrote The World According to Garp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge, beautiful book, and they have distilled it into still quite a huge, beautiful play. There's 16 actors playing, oh my God, it feels like about 700. I think I have 700 costume changes alone.
Oh, good.
It feels like. But it's great. It's a lovely play, and it's basically John Wheelwright is the kind of central character narrator who is recalling his childhood friend, Owen Meany, with childhood through to adulthood.
Right.
And who is this small person with this distorted voice. Like, his voice is, they refer to it in the book as wrecked. And actually, in the book, all Owen's dialogue is written out in all capitals, just to give this sense of, and Chris, who is playing Owen Meany, is just doing an amazing job with this voice, because it's,
that's very Chris Lamb, who is an amazing talent. Every time he's been on the show about 3 or 4 times, and every time it's in a different role.
Yeah.
He's directing this, he's musical director of that, he's acting in this.
And Chris, aside from being one of the leads in Owen Meany, is also in Masterclass, where he is playing, I believe, Shostakovich, and playing like amazing piano. Chris is just like he's a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
We
had him on here first, folks. Just remember that.
So, yeah, and basically this story is Owen Meany.
Yeah.
And who believes that he is God's instrument. He believes that he has a purpose, and that is why he is the size he is and his voice is the way it is.
Right. This is all the gift.
Yeah. And what it is that he has a vision about what it is he's supposed to do. So it's, you know, him, how he affects people going through life, and what this incident is, and I don't want to give it away, but that he is put on this earth to do, and how and his friend John, and how this affects his life as well. So yeah. it's very funny and very thought provoking, and you know.
And then we have Masterclass, which the photograph is Tarek Leslie as looks like Joseph Stalin.
Yes.
So what's that one?
Well, we've been referring to it as Masterclass, not the Maria Callas.
Right.
because it's not Tarek dressed as Joseph Stalin playing Maria Callas.
Singing, yeah.
Because that would be weird.
I mean, it might be brilliant.
I don't know. Tune in next season.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, don't use the phrase "that might be weird" in front of Tarek, or right. He will be doing it next year.
So it is, it's based on an actual event. It's the Soviet Musicians Union Conference in Moscow in 1948, which actually happened. And it's Stalin and Zadanov, I cannot pronounce that, and another Russian fellow with a very Russian name, preparing to enforce their new policy for the arts. So they summon Prokofiev and Shostakovich to discuss how their music should best serve the Soviet
the state,
Union.
Yeah.
So, and that is also a fairly timely piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. It's four actors, and they're all playing the piano.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, Evan Frayn is the director, and I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I saw it at the read-through, but they open tomorrow night, and it's going to be amazing, too.
It sounds fantastic. Yeah. I'm always impressed at the choice of material that Ensemble comes up with, because it's all stuff that most of us haven't seen or heard of before, but it's all really, really interesting and entertaining and thought-provoking and a great, like, just a lot of fun to be a part of. Like I said, I was there last year, and it was grueling.
Yes.
There was, you know, we want to talk about costume changes.
Oh,
try going from a druidic robe into full Roman armor in 35 seconds.
Yeah.
And then back again.
Yeah.
And here I thought my girls in corsets this year.
Let me tell you. Yeah. Stainless steel. That's the way to go. If you're going to put on a corset. Okay, so let's sell some tickets. It's at the Jericho Arts Center. It runs now until when?
August 18th.
Okay, there we go. And tickets are available at the usual places. You can go to ensembletheatercompany.ca. And ensemble is spelt with a B-L-E and theater is spelt with a T-R-E. Mm-hmm. But we've got a link on the Facebook page and all the rest of it, too.
And there are festival passes, which are an awesome deal. I'm pretty sure it's $75. And for $75, you get to see all three shows.
Mm-hmm. And there's special events, too.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
There are. There is, for In the Next Room, there is a reading or a presentation of some of Sarah Rule's essays from 100 Essays I Don't Have Time to Write, which are very lovely and funny and thought-provoking, much like the play.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Meany, there is, I have to remember these now, the Pension Grillparzer, which is a short story by John Irving, which is going to be dramatized. And we also have, for In the Next Room, Dr. Laurie Brado is coming for a talk back on Wednesday, August 2nd. Wednesday the 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah, and she is one of Canada's foremost researchers into sexual health.
Oh, great.
And so she's coming to share some of her insights, which we're really excited about.
That is very exciting.
And
all
then
right.
I think there's a presentation of Music to Murder By for Masterclass on the 13th.
Perfect. All right. So like I said, all the stuff is, we'll put it on our Facebook page. You can get it on the Ensemble Theatre Company website or check out, or you can also go to Jericho Arts Center because they have links on there as well.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for coming in. Great success on this year's Ensemble season, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. I went down to the Cat Solano Festival last week, and I harassed Dennis Mills until I got the new Judy's CD.
We'll be right back.
So that's the new a track off the new CD, The Very Best of the Judys. And they, of course, were playing down at the Catalina Festival last weekend, a song called WTFM, Walkin' Talkin' Fertile Man. Speaking of which, we have Wayne Lavely in the studio. Hi,
yeah,
Wayne.
That's a great segue. Walkin' Talkin' Fertile Man.
That's
that sums me up.
Well, let's expand on that a little bit more.
Right.
You are described in your bio as an award-winning recording artist, singer, songwriter, and producer from the Métis Nation of Saint-Laurent, Manitoba.
Yeah, that's my community, uh-huh. But I was raised out here on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I never actually lived in the Saint-Laurent. That's just where my people are from. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Winnipeg in the early 90s for about 6 months in the winter, and then I came right back to the West Coast again. It's like, no, I'm not having any of this.
No.
But the West Coast...
I'm a West Coast guy.
Yeah. I can deal with the rain and the clouds, but, if minus 40, it's just... I don't know. But I love Winnipeg, though. The arts community is really, really cool.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
My wife works in theater, and there's a lot of theater going on there and a lot of music. And it's very, very exciting place.
Yeah, for sure. And I go to Winnipeg all the time, play music. So it's my biggest market just because of the Aboriginal. It's the capital of Aboriginal media in Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
In Winnipeg with APTN and everybody's Indigenous buzz surrounding the arts community there. So it's pretty happening.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to put this in my lead-in script and then I forgot it. But this year it's Canada 150 it's 150 years since the Confederation and the British North America Act of 1867. And I remember 1967 when it was the centennial and it was a big deal. It was a huge party and it was like history started in 1867 and we're celebrating. This year the story is a lot different. And a lot of people are saying, wait a minute. There's a lot of history before 1867, and the Aboriginal voices are really being heard a lot.
Yeah, it is a different vibe.
Yeah.
It really is. In general, Canadians are educating themselves, or they're being educated to what the true history is in Canada. And it's somewhat of a dark one, can be a dark one, And so a lot of this is... a lot of new information for most people, cultural genocide and oppression, right?
Yeah.
When you think of Canada, you don't think of those words,
right?
Not at all,
We're the nice ones.
Yeah, we are. We are the nice ones, and that's the image we try to put out there and portray, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, Canada's had this deep, dark secret they've kind of tried to sweep under the rug for decades, and it's just being revealed, and it has to be. The story has to be told about residential school and cultural oppression and genocide in this country. And people are interested in hearing that story. I think, younger Canadians are interested in hearing the history of Canada and how Aboriginal people, Indigenous people in this country shaped that. And the stories are coming out. And people are really starting to, think about Canada in a different way, especially for me as an Aboriginal person, because I didn't grow up with my language or my culture that was taken from me. Right.
Yeah.
And I was raised in foster homes. So it's always been a struggle to reclaim my identity as an Aboriginal, person. And I've had to do that through the arts, through the music, through film, through dance, and tell my stories through that medium. So, even when I look back, my short lifetime, I look back and that's been a struggle for me. So we celebrate 150 years, right?
Yeah.
It's not really a long time, A lot has happened before then, too, right? So, it's good. I believe in the spirit of Canada and the spirit of 150, but it hasn't quite been realized, right? So
And it's something that we all need to recognize and embrace and not try to deny or feel shame or guilt over it, but just to say, what can we do to heal this and how can we build on that to make this a better place?
Yeah, it's all about moving forward,
and
not forgetting about the past and educating Canadians about the past too, right? And they accept it or they don't, or they're not ready to accept it, right?
Yeah.
So it's moving forward. And
I know, I mean, my own history, I'm a fifth generation settler, and my ancestors traveled across from
the original settler came to Nova Scotia in the 1830s, and then his son was moved to Ontario, and his son moved to Manitoba, and his moved to Saskatchewan, and then I was born in British Columbia, and it just recently I came to the realization that that was all built on stolen land. It was all homestead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I have my own pride and my own family and my own legacy in that, but also recognizing where that came from and who suffered because of it.
And a lot of the land is still unceded, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the treaties that, especially in BC, that the First Nations have been negotiating with the government have been, you know, been going on for years, over the last 50 years, 100 mm-hmm. years, you know, yeah. and these treaties have been exhausted and exhausted, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, for sure. I mean, like, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that we're still fighting the fight.
Yeah.
You know, we are. It's not about, okay, this happened in the past, now we're moving forward, yay, everything's good. This, you know, it's still a struggle because it's, like you said, it's always been about the land and the resources, and that's still very valuable to the yeah. Canadian federal government, to the oil companies, major corporations. They still want it.
Yeah.
So they still conspire against Native people. So we're always standing on the front lines in support of, you know, the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, it's a funny thing because, you know, like, when you think about our history, by the 1970s, Indian people in this country weren't even supposed to be here.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be killed off
yeah.
or assimilated,
yeah.
you know, and that was the mandate of the federal government and residential schools to mm-hmm. kill us off,
yeah.
to take the land, stick us on reservations and, you know.
And take away language and culture and family.
And, yeah, and through the children,
yeah.
right? Rip them from the communities and place them in the residential schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, and it's, you know, that part of history, Canadian history, was never, ever taught in schools.
No.
Ever. You know, you learned about the Métis people, you know, and, you know, the one, you know, kind of Indian, the Plains Indian, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so we were put in a box and stereotyped and, you know, and our culture was oppressed through, you know, through Hollywood films.
Yeah.
And
anything that we did learn, it was all historical. You know, this is how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
These are
mm-hmm.
the people that used to be here,
mm-hmm.
not these are the people that are still here and they're still around you and still, you know, they're still here.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But yeah, I mean, I have lots of hope and
yeah.
and for the future, and I'm looking forward to the next 150 mm-hmm. years for
yeah.
sure because
yeah.
there are a lot of great allies out there mm-hmm. who want to stand side by side with First Nations people and just, you know, to help promote culture and humanity
yeah.
and just, you know, and the arts, all through the arts, you know. Mm. Art is a very, very powerful tool.
Yeah.
It's the most powerful act of resistance to get your message out there.
Absolutely.
Whether it's
yeah.
a struggle or a celebration.
Well, let's talk about this film, The Road Forward.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. That's exactly what it is The Road Forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's an epic journey of a film. And it's not your typical feature-length documentary where it's a bunch of talking heads. It's told through art and music. It's like a series of these short music videos that are just, the cinematography is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And the music production in the film is a world class. The director, Marie Clement, she wrote... we call them story songs. So they're a bunch of songs, and about our history, about Native nationalism, Native pride, about Aboriginal missing and murdered women, residential schools. So there are a bunch of these stories that were created into songs that tell the story through documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a very interesting and unique approach to watching a documentary. And there's
yeah.
so much history in this film. It's just...
And this is a project that got its start during the Olympic Games in 2010, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's yeah. right. It was commissioned by the Olympics, and it debuted at the Aboriginal Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
So The Road Forward was actually a stage production. I wasn't involved in that production.
Oh.
I came on board... after that, it got picked up by the Push Festival
mm-hmm.
as a workshop performance, and then it got picked up by Push the year after that, and it did three shows at the York Theatre on Commercial. So And we had about 17 songs, and it was a full band. Yeah. I think there was like 12 of us on stage. And we had multimedia. We had this big scrim on stage. We actually had 3D images projected out as well. So at one point, the audience would be given 3D glasses, right? And then all these West Coast images designs would be floating out at you, right?
Wow.
And I think it's the first time that's ever happened on the West Coast that a live band show incorporated like 3D images,
yeah.
right? So it was very multimedia. So, I mean, it was a rock show. I mean, the Road Filled was a band, and different guest compositors throughout the band wrote different songs, contributed songs, and we had all the images on the back. So there'd be a song called Good God about residential school, and in the back there'd be all these images of residential schools
yeah.
and all this stuff. And so that's kind of how we told the stories through song. And then the NFB picked it up. They produced the film, and they jumped on board and said, well, we totally be interested in making this into a film.
Yeah.
And so that was another journey, just filming the songs, and the music segments were so cool. But
because you said they're all done like music videos, so there's some high production values going on.
Yeah. And I mean, all the music was produced and recorded at the warehouse at Brian Adams Studio mm-hmm. on this, you know, vintage Neve console. So it's
yeah.
got a really world-class sound. And it's kind of like, have you ever seen that movie Across the Universe?
Yeah.
You know, the music segments in there?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it kind of, the opening segment of the film kind of reminds me of when you're looking at the cinematography and how the style of the story songs move through the piece.
Mm-hmm.
The movie really talks about Native nationalism and starts in the 1930s and goes to the present, because in the 1930s there was an organization on the West Coast called the Native Brotherhood and the Native Sisters
yeah.
Sisterhood, and they were a union, and they basically started this union so they could promote and fight just for the rights to hunt, to fish, take care of their families. And they did this through a Native publication called the Native Voice newspaper, which was distributed up all along the West Coast of Vancouver, and with the help of Maisie Hurley and her law firm, were very strong allies with the Native Voice. And it was very, you know, such a period in time where, you know, I mean, I totally hold my hands up to these elders, our elders, and those people that fought for our rights back then, because, you know, they, at that time in the 30s, Native people weren't even allowed to gather.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Just by having a meeting, they were taking their lives in their hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
So to come out with the actual newspaper that was, you know, distributed up along the the West Coast.
Yeah, that was a real act of courage.
Yeah. And to see Native news stringers, you know, typing on typewriters and putting articles together, you know, dressed in suits with glasses, you know, and back in the 30s, it was kind of like not the image we usually see.
little hats with press in the brim. And
yeah. So, it's very kind of one guy said when we were at the Doxa Festival at industry panel,
yeah.
he said it was kind of jarring to see this, right? Because we're just not used to seeing Native people in that way,
yeah.
right? And we don't know that, you know, that history was like that, or Native people even did that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing, right? So it's a fantastic film, and, you know, I encourage every Canadian to see this film if you want to really take in and be part of, you know, the true history of this country and
mm-hmm.
you know what happened in the past and the present and how we're moving forward. Definitely check it out at the Vancouver International Film Festival.
Yeah, it's playing at the Van City Theater on Seymour Street, and I think there's five or six showings between now and Thursday night. And tonight there's a special. Is it tonight? There's
yep.
a special event with Marie Clements, the
yeah.
filmmaker.
Yeah, Marie Clements will be there for Q&A tonight
mm-hmm.
At 8 p.m. at the Van City Theater, so
yeah.
come and check it out for sure.
Right. All right, so if you need to know more about it, you can go to the NFB website or the VIF, the Vancouver National Film Festival website. That'll tell you more about it, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Wayne, thanks a lot for coming in.
Well, thanks,
yeah.
Dave Radio, for having us on the show.
All right.
Very much appreciate it.
We have one of your songs from the film.
Yeah, this is called Indian Man,
yeah.
and this is like the opening sequence of the film. So if you dig this song, which you will, come see it and come see the visual version of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen the clip of it. It's pretty spectacular. Thanks a lot, Wayne.
Yeah. Thank you.
Start. Spirits inside your bones move through your heart. You've got no sail from the start. Spirits inside your bones move through your heart. Now, you're an Indian man, a crazy horse. You're an
Are you interested in Indigenous issues?
Are you down with decolonization?
Do you have something to say?
Or have a topic to share?
We have just the thing.
Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective.
We're a team of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people.
I'm Niska from my mother.
From the Tahltan Territory.
I'm a settler from Washington State.
I'm from the Qualicum and Musqueam First Nations.
I am Quichua Indigenous from Saraguro, Ecuador.
We broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land
of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Whatever you want to talk about, we're into it.
Everyone is welcome, no experience necessary. Unceded Airwaves airs Mondays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Unceded Airwaves.
We want to hear your story.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing piece.
If you really want to know more about fashion, I mean, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode.
So for me,
nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Let's see here, God. Oh.
Everybody dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It is our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Shindig 2017, CITR's Battle of the Bands, been going on for 35 years, getting ready to start up again this fall. We're looking for the best new bands in Vancouver for our 34th annual Shindig, musicians and bands of all shapes, sizes, and genres. Winners of Shindig receive studio time, mastered tracks, and a feature in Discorder magazine, along with merchandise production and showcase opportunities. Please send the following information to shindig at .submissions@gmail.com, or you can drop off your submissions in person at our radio station right here, underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest. So what you need to include in your submission is a demo of original material containing a minimum of 3 songs, and any format is acceptable. You can send links to SoundCloud, Bandcamp. You can give a stick with some MP3s on it, whatever you got. Give us cassettes. We'll take CDs. If you got it in vinyl, we'll take that too. It's a radio station. We can play it however you brought it. I don't think we can play wax cylinders, though, so be careful with that. And then we also want to know who you are, so give us contact information, including your email and your phone number. If you've got photos, bios, other information like that, that's not required, but we'll definitely take a look at it if you send it in. And the deadline for submissions is September 1st, 2017. So you got about a month and a half to get it all together. Once again, the submission address is shindig.submissions@gmail.com. Metro Theatre is put out a second call for the production of Hilda's Yard by Norm Foster. They are looking to cast the character of Gary Fluck, a man in his mid-20s. The production is happening in September, and if you want to know more, you can contact the director. Her name is Kate Roth, and her email address is rhodalexington@shaw.ca, and you can find out more by checking out the Metro Theatre Facebook page or website. Now we've got a Fringe Festival show called The Long Walk by Daniel Morton and Nathaniel Roy, or Raw if you are a hockey, if you're a goalie. They're looking for a director. This is someone who has experience doing on-site shows, improv, and dramaturgy. This has been up for a little while. I'm going to imagine that they have someone already, but if you might want to double check. Contact Daniel at danielmorton.ca. Vancouver Film School Sketch Company is looking for actors, improvisers, comedians, and generally funny people. The VFS Sketch Company produces live sketch comedy shows three times a year. These shows are written by students of the VFS Writing for Film and TV program, and the sketches are performed in front of a live audience. They're in search of fun, talented folks to join their ranks and looking to expand the diverse company of actors for this year's fall season. All ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds are encouraged to apply. Any interested inquiries, please email vfssketch@gmail.com. It's a Zoo Productions brand new play called Wet by David James Brock. This is the Western premiere of an award-winning in-your-face play set during the height of Canada's involvement during the Afghan War. They will be doing It's a Zoo does site-specific plays, so this one is going to take place in a basement suite, a very intimate surrounding. And if you are interested, be aware that the play does contain graphic sexuality, nudity, disturbing images, and violence. Please only submit if you're comfortable with this situation. And, of course, It's a Zoo always welcomes and encourages submissions from artists of diverse backgrounds. It'sazoo.org is the website to find out more about that. Hey, this is exciting. Our friends at Geekenders are going to New York City. Their show How I Met My Mother, a Back to the Future musical, has been invited to head out to do some off-Broadway stuff. I think it's early next year. Anyway, they're going to be performing this show at the Rio in December, and they're holding auditions in July for that. So there's no guarantee you'll be on the New York team, but at least you'll be able to be part of the show at the Rio in December. The auditions are going to be July 29th and 30th at Bulala Costumes in North Vancouver. Actors do not have to be age appropriate if they're funny and have a good grasp of the character, since the show is a parody. Note that they're looking for experienced actors, singers, and dancers. And the roles of Lorraine, Biff, and George are already cast, so you can still try out for Marty and Doc and some of the other secondary characters for that one. A couple of pantos coming up. We've got the White Rock Players doing Hunchback of Notre Dame, and that will be happening in November and early, well, all the way through till December 30th. The auditions are this week at the Centennial Arena in White Rock. Actually, that just happened. Today's the 14th, right? That already happened, so check them out anyway. They might still need folks because they're always looking for stage crew, carpenters, costumers, set decorators, all kinds of folks. So you may have missed the audition, but you can still participate in the White Rock Panto. And then we've got the Fraser Valley Gilbert and Sullivan Society doing their panto, The Little Mermaid. The auditions for that are in August, and the show itself runs November 23rd to December 3rd. And that's going to be at the Surrey Arts Center, open to anyone ages 8 and up. Metro Theater doing Calendar Girls in October and November. That show will, be at Metro Theater in South Vancouver, and the auditions for that are in about a week and a half, July 24th and 25th. And finally, the Royal Canadian Theatre Company is doing The Hound of the Baskervilles. This is going to be touring throughout the Fraser Valley in Surrey, Maple Ridge, Vancouver, New West, and possibly Port Coquitlam. The auditions are on July 29th in Surrey, and they are specifically looking for people with strong comedic skills, both verbally and physically. So that's Royal Canadian Theatre Company. You can contact Ellie at rctheatreco.com. So there you go. If you want details on these or other audition notices, go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you would like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page. And you can also email it at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com and like us on Facebook. And if you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. Stick around. Fresh Slice is up next, followed by Radio Zero at 2 o'clock. And then, as always, at 3:30, as it's been for the last 30 years, Napkin Boy with Nardwar, the Human Serviette, presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.